The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning is 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. If you have one of the Bibles from the back of the pew, you can follow along on page 1023. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is God's word.
Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning again. Welcome to Life Connection. My name is Jason. I'm one of the pastors. Grateful you're with us. Happy Easter. What a great day for us to consider God's word together and to think about the implications of the resurrection for our life. I think that's going to be really helpful for us today, because the reality that all of us exist in is our culture, our world is racked with all kinds of anxious worry. I mean, it's estimated that more than 30% of American adults suffer with some kind of anxiety disorder of many kinds. That we are affected in all kinds of different ways. So you could look to your left, look to your right. And it is without a doubt that one of those people has struggled with some kind of anxious worry this week. And this is a human problem that all of us know something about. There's somewhere in this room, there's a parent who this week has been worried about their child in some kind of way. Somewhere in this room, there's somebody who is worried about finding the job that they need to make ends meet. Somewhere in this room, there is someone who has wrestled with and struggled over relational difficulty this past week. There's somebody in this room who is struggling, worried about their placement test results and whether or not they'll get into that college of choice. We all know what it feels like to worry about whether we measure up, how we'll be received by others, whether we have what it takes, and if we'll be accepted in this world. We all know that experience because our culture is racked with anxious worry of all kinds. But what if there's a place, what if there's somewhere that you and I can know that we're received, that we're accepted? We don't have to worry about whether or not we measure up. We don't have to play the comparison game. We know that we're accepted fully and completely. What if I told you that there was a place that we could have that kind of assurance in this world? Well, that's why our passage is going to be so helpful for us this morning, because what we're reminded of is that in the presence of God, we have just that kind of confident assurance. That if you're in Jesus, if you've given yourself over to him, if you've trusted him by faith, then what you can know is that you can have a confident assurance in his presence because of that relationship, that you can be accepted before him without a shadow of doubt. No need to stay up late at night wondering what God thinks of you. No need to worry about whether or not he receives you. No need to wonder if you measure up and stack up in the right kind of way that he would accept you. But because of what God has done for you in Jesus, because of his life, because of his death, and ultimately his resurrection, we can have a confident assurance with our God. That's the hope that I have for us this morning, that we might see something of the kind of confident assurance that we can have with God. That's what John is going to point us to this morning. The first thing that we need to see is that you can have confident assurance with God because of his indwelling presence. Look again at verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. What John wants us to see first off is that God's indwelling presence combats the anxious worry that you and I experience in this world. God's indwelling presence. I mean, isn't it the case that most of our anxious worry comes because we live in a world that's ever-changing, that's unsteady, there are uncertainties abounding all around us? At every corner, we wonder what's coming next. Isn't it because of that kind of uncertainty that we experience so much of the anxious worry in our life? What's going to come of our kids? Am I going to find a job? Do I have what it takes? Will this relational conflict ever resolve? And this then is good news for us, that there is an opportunity to experience God's indwelling presence in our life, because God is steady, sure, never changing. And if God resides within us then we don't have to worry about the changing opinions and valuations of people around us. People are fickle, are they not? And part of our struggle in the anxious worry that you and I experience is wondering, how do people view me? What do they think of me? Will they receive me? And those opinions about us often change, and yet God never does. And so there's this opportunity to experience God's indwelling presence in such a way that we can find rest and security in him and not have to be worried about the opinions and valuations of others. But how do we experience that kind of indwelling of God by his Spirit? How is that possible? Well, he says it's possible by receiving the gift of salvation through the Son. The gift of salvation. It says that God sent the Son, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. All that we have to do to experience God's indwelling presence is to receive this gift of salvation. And that begins by recognizing that there's something wrong. I mean, that's implied in the idea that Jesus was sent as a Savior. If Jesus is sent as a Savior, then there's something wrong with us, something wrong in my life. There's this experience that you and I have of living for ourselves on our own terms. It says that he is Savior of the world, and that idea of the world is humanity in opposition to God. Humanity's living in its own way, on its own terms. That's the experience that you and I have. And that message, it runs so contrary to our cultural ideas, doesn't it? The idea that there's nothing wrong with you and I, you're perfect just as you are. And yet, when we're honest, when we're soberly reflective, we know that that's not the case. We know that there's imperfection within us. We know that there's shortcomings. We know that there's failures. And so the question becomes, how do we make sense of those failures? Well, at least one of the reasons that we see those imperfections in our lives is because we have lived in rebellion to God. We have sought to go our own way, to live life on our own terms. And so there's something deeply broken within us. But in experiencing this gift of salvation that comes by the Son, we can have a restoration of heart. We can be found in Christ, the Spirit of God dwelling within us, giving us a confident assurance in this ever-changing world. So the invitation is to give your life over to Jesus, to experience this kind of respite in a hostile, ever-changing world. All you need do is receive the gift of salvation in the Son. Turning from that old way of life where you've sought to live on your own terms, in your own power, and in your own strength, and instead embracing Jesus by faith, experiencing the Spirit's indwelling presence, and that indwelling presence is the way in which God is going to enable us to live in confident assurance. Maybe some of us in the room have given ourselves over to Jesus, and we wonder, do I really know that God dwells within me? Like, that sounds all well and good. I want to have that kind of respite in this world. I want to experience a confident assurance, but how can I know that I know I am? Well, John knows that there are all those kinds of questions that are going to come to our minds and hearts, and he wants us to see very clearly how we can know that the Spirit of God dwells within us. And he says, first, you know that the Spirit of God is dwelling within you if you have believed in the Son. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. This idea of confessing Jesus as the Son of God is not just some metaphor, like that we might describe ourselves, if you're in Christ, as a child of God, being adopted into his family. No, this is not just some mere metaphor. This is reality. Jesus is the divine Son of God who has come in the flesh. He came to dwell among us, bringing us this gift of salvation. And his incarnation, the incarnation, God becoming man, it's necessary for you and I to experience salvation. Jesus had to be fully man that he might identify with us who are human. But he also had to be fully God. Otherwise, how could he be Savior of the world? And so Jesus is the God-man, and it says, John says, you want to know if you're experiencing the indwelling presence of God? Have you believed that Jesus has come to rescue you from your sin? Have you placed faith and trust in him? If you have done so, then you can know without a shadow of a doubt that God dwells within you, and you can have a confident assurance in this ever-changing world. But not only by that confession. How else can we know that God dwells within us? We can know that as we live in love. So we have come to know and believe that the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. God's love rests upon you in Jesus because God is love. His love never runs out. His love never fails. Because of God's love resting upon you, you can have a confident assurance in this world. If God's love rests upon you in that kind of way, why would we scurry about trying to seek the approval of others? We have the approval of the God of the universe. And this kind of love resting upon us then, John says, will lead us to love one another. If we have that kind of love resting upon us and we don't need to seek the approval of others because we have his. And because we have his, I can now have a confident assurance in this world. I can find relief for the anxious worry of my soul. You can have confident assurance with God. That's the simple truth. You can have confident assurance with God because of his indwelling presence, but you can also have confident assurance with God because of his abiding love. Look at verse 17. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. We can have confident assurance because of God's abiding love. I mean, you and I, we struggle with anxious worry in this world because of the judgment of others. I mean, isn't that the rock bottom reality? How are we going to be viewed? How will we be received? How will we measure up? How do we stack up? We compare ourselves with others. We struggle with the judgment of others. You see, we all face that kind of judgment, that kind of assessment of others in this world. And we wonder, how are we going to measure up? And this brings real concern. That's the language that John uses of fear. There's a real concern of soul, wondering how we measure up to others. And yet in Christ, he says, there is no reason to fear. There is no reason to be concerned about the judgment of others. Why? Why don't we have to have that kind of fear, that kind of concern? Because we have been fully accepted in Christ. I mean, that's why he says, because as he is, so also are we in the world. We can have confident assurance in this world because we are beloved sons or daughters of God. That's what he means when he says, just as Christ was, so we are also in this world. Jesus was fully accepted and affirmed by the Father. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And now if you're in Christ, you have that same position. God looks at you as his beloved son, his beloved daughter. You're fully and finally accepted before him. And because of that, there is no need for fear, for concern in this world. If the Father's love rests upon you, why would we have anxious worry in this world? Why would we be concerned about what this world has to offer and whether or not we measure up? Perfect love cast out fear, cast out concern. To borrow from John Calvin and apply in our context, if you're beloved by God, you can walk cheerfully and confidently in this world because you are convinced of his fatherly love. You can have a confident assurance in this world because of God's abiding love. And so therefore, instead of fear, we can love too. We can love others because God first loved us. This reminds us of what the Apostle Paul says. Jesus didn't come into our world. He didn't come near once we got our act together and we cleaned ourselves up. No, he came into our world when we were his enemies, when we were far from him, long before we had our stuff put together. And because he first loved, now we can love others as well. When we rest in this abiding love that God has for us, we don't have to walk in this anxious worry. And because we're no longer walking in this anxious worry, we can now love others. But when we're constantly concerned about how we're received, when we're constantly concerned about whether we measure up or how we compare with other people, it's difficult to love, isn't it? I might be able to use people to make me feel better, but if I want to be freed to love in the way that John is leading us to see, then I have to rest in this abiding love that comes from the Father. And this love that comes from the Father, it is a love that's put in action. It isn't mere sentiment. God was moved to action and he sent his Son then with this gift of salvation to die a death in our place, that he would be our atoning sacrifice, removing all guilt from our stained soul. And so love moves us to action as well. And so we can draw near to others and we can care for others well. This is partly why we're taking up that fifth Sunday offering today for Mercy Ministry. Because we want to be moved to action to care for others in our church and in our broader community well. We can have confident assurance with God. It's a simple reality. But how do we walk in that on the daily? Because today's awesome, right? Happy Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. But tomorrow's coming. Those anxious worries really aren't going anywhere. We're going to find ourselves continuing to struggle with those this week. But how can we then walk in a confident assurance? Well, it has to begin by us thinking on the great truths of the gospel. That God, in his great love, gave us his Son. And he gave us his Son who gave his life on that cross that you and I could be freed from anxious worry. But the reality is we're going to continue to struggle with it in the here and now. But resurrection reminds us that victory is coming. That there will indeed be a day when anxious worry plagues your heart no more. That day may not be today. It may not be tomorrow, but it is coming. Resurrection is this promise that God is ultimately going to restore all things to his intended purpose. There will come a day when we are standing face to face with our Lord and Savior Jesus, and we will be changed from the inside out, transformed fully and completely. And we can then experience this freedom from anxious worry. And so if we want to walk in a confident assurance now, we have to look to King Jesus, to think on the realities of what he's done for us. And we need to do that together as a community. We need to remember that we are never intended to live this life on our own. We are always intended to walk together, to rest in this gospel together, that we might love one another well. And this morning, it's a reminder that as we love one another, it leads to us living out a countercultural community in a broken, anxiously worried world. That as we care for one another well, we're not pointing to ourselves, but away from ourselves to the God who first loved us, who gave his life for you and me, that we might be set free to live for him. And so this is why every week we take part in the Lord's Supper, because we need constant reminders, not just on Easter Sunday, we need weekly reminders that all of this is possible only because of the life, death, and resurrection of King Jesus. I mean, it is not a mere metaphor that we say Jesus is risen. It is a cosmic reality that has changed everything. And all those who had placed faith and trust in Jesus can experience his indwelling presence and his abiding love. And so if you know Jesus, if you've given your life over to Christ, and we want to invite you to take part in the Lord's Supper with us. And here's what we do as a church then. There will be some stations here. You can come forward down that middle aisle. You'll see a graphic behind me on the screen. You come, you take a wafer, reminding ourselves of Jesus' broken body for us. You take a little cup of juice, reminding ourselves that his blood had to be shed for the remission of sins. You think upon the great truths of the gospel, his love for you and me. And then you eat and you drink, remembering him and what he's done for you. You can have confident assurance with God. That's a simple reality that I hope we'll think on. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these words that you have spoken to us. By your love, grace, kindness, and mercy, you have revealed yourself to us. You have given us this gift of salvation in Jesus. And so, Lord, we pray that in these moments, you would meet us in a fresh way. Lord, I pray that there would be some who for the very first time are giving their lives over to Christ, trusting you at your word, believing on Jesus for life, experiencing then the indwelling presence of the Spirit, resting in your abiding love, that we might be changed and transformed from the inside out. So meet us in these moments as we reflect on our lives, as we think on Jesus. Help us to worship you in fresh ways. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.